There's a lot of talk about the anointing. What it is, what it isn't. How do you get it? Can I ask a maybe even more important question? How do you keep it? Because the anointing of God comes through the Holy Spirit of God. Now, God is the Word because in the beginning He was and He still is. And that's what the Bible declares He is. And so if God is the Word and the Word is God and you can't separate those things, well, we know a lot about God by His Word. Can you say amen? Now, you can read my bio. You can study all about me. You can learn all of my traits. And you can have a great understanding about who I am and what I've accomplished, what I've done. And you can even, in some instances, predict what I'll do and what I won't do. But until you spend a little time with me, there's something that separates me from a corpse. You can't have much relation with a corpse, but you can with a person. Why? Because they have a spirit. And once you hang around somebody, you can discern that spirit, and that spirit really lets you know. So then the things you know about that person mixed with the spirit completes the understanding and the knowing and the experience about that person. Well, so it is with God. So it's one thing to know His Word, and I think everybody should know His Word. You have to know His Word, or how can you know who He is and what He does? But you also need to have His Spirit. And as we're going to break this down in just a minute, it's very important that you understand the anointing. I'm afraid sometimes people really don't understand the anointing, what it's for, what it's not for. You know, when we look back in Israel, we can see where God's people, there was a remnant. How many people know God is always faithful to His remnant? His people, those who He has called, those who He has made promises to. He's faithful. And here we see God bringing up His remnant from the Assyrians who were, putting the God's people in bondage. Has anyone here ever been in bondage? Now, we're in bondage in a different way. They were physically, literally in bondage, these people were living. And it says, God sends a prophet, Prophet Isaiah, and He wants to call them out from the burdens and out from the yokes that were placed upon them by these Assyrians. And He says to this, He says, sends the prophet, and it says, the word coming from the prophet says, it shall come to pass in that day. I'm reading from Isaiah 10:27 in the KJV. That His burden shall be taken away from off of thy shoulder, and His yoke from off thy neck, and the yoke shall be destroyed because of the anointing. Because of the anointing. Has anyone in here ever had a burden? And a burden is something that you're carrying, is weighing you down, grinding you down, is the cares of life piling up on you, and then all of a sudden God does something to it just lifts those burdens off your life. It's the most overwhelming. It's the most wonderful experience. It's the most liberating and freeing experience you will ever experience in your life. And then how many people have had yokes in their life? It could be addictions. It could be bad mannerisms. It could be characteristics that you're not proud of. It could be even events that you're still tied to that you can't break away from, including relationships. But it is a yoke that is placed upon you, and you're dragging that thing around, and you're dragging it in and out of every relationship you've ever been into, whether it be a loving relationship, business relationship, or even a friendship. Bless God, even a church. You've heard the old saying, if you thought everybody was perfect in this church, it wasn't until you showed up. Amen. Why? Because we have stuff. We have yokes. There are burdens upon our life. There are yokes that we're tied to, that we're dragging around, and they're wearing us out. Am I connecting with anybody here today? So God here declares that he will send his anointing. And because of that anointing on his people, anointing has to work through someone. Anointing doesn't just drop out of heaven and start working. It drops on someone and they start working. So it's through the anointing on these people that he is about to, let's say it again, he says, the burden shall be taken away. Say, the burdens are removed. And the yoke shall be destroyed because of the anointing. So say, burden removing, yoke destroying. So the anointing is the burden removing, yoke destroying power of God. And when that comes upon your life, what happens to your burdens? Huh? What happens to the burdens? They're removed. And what about those yokes that you're dragging in and out of relationships, in and out of your life? Right? What happens to them? They're destroyed. How many people think that might be beneficial in your life? And so what we have to understand is we have to understand who God is. We have to understand who the Holy Spirit is. And we have to understand who Jesus is. And we have to understand how they all three are working together all the time. They are never in conflict with each other or never in disagreement at any time, in any way. Acts 10:38, I like to pull everything through the cross so we know what it looks like through this dispensation. And when you pull this thing through the cross, we look at Acts 10:38. Acts are the works or the Acts of the Apostles. It's the only book that doesn't finish because it's still being written. You're still living out the works of the Holy Spirit. This is a progressive thing. It doesn't stop till Jesus comes back, sets his foot down on the mountain. Do you understand? And so at this point, we see that explains the anointing of what Jesus was doing. It says how God anointed Jesus. So obviously God is, well, some people think, well, they're all one. Well, no, God anointed Jesus. Didn't say God anointed himself. God, one, anointed Jesus, two, with what? The Holy Ghost, Holy Spirit. One, two, three. God anointed Jesus with the Holy Spirit. And then they all become one. Separate but the same. Working together for the same cause. And anointed them, watch this, with power. With power. Who went about doing good and healing them who were oppressed of the devil. So God anointed them. And they had power come upon them. Anointed them with the Holy Spirit. So the Holy Spirit is the Spirit of absolute truth. He's the comforter. He's the counselor. He will teach you all things. So the Holy Spirit, he's kind of an important part of the Godhead, wouldn't you say? And it's Holy Spirit, through Holy Spirit, that we become anointed. The word is our roadmap. The word is the substance to our faith because we can trust it inevitably. He will never leave us, never forsake us. His words get every promise ever tied up is tied up in his word. But the anointing to yield to the calling, to follow through with the things God has called you to do, comes through the Holy Spirit. Through the power, watch, of Jesus Christ. Why? Because Jesus made one sacrifice, the book of Hebrews says, for all. So he's the one in the middle that connects the two. So now it's how God anointed Jesus with the Holy Spirit, who went around doing what? Everything he needed to do to defeat the devil. Okay? Now watch here in Acts 1. In 8, Jesus gives instructions to the disciples, and he says, you, who? Say, he's talking to me. Because remember, he's talking to, this book's still being written. He says, you shall receive power when? Oh, when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. How God anointed Jesus with the Holy Spirit and power. How God anointed his church with the Holy Spirit and power. Say how God anointed me. Say it. Say how God. Say it with me. God anointed me with the Holy Spirit and power. Christ-like, not Christ, we're not him, but we're empowered by his same spirit from the same God. To the glory of God, not to ourselves. And we talk a lot about the power. And we talk a lot about the miracles, and we need to, but really, according to this scripture, we need to focus on the purpose of the anointing. Because it says, after you will receive the power with the Holy Spirit comes upon you, it says, you shall be witnesses to me. And then it names the places. It's the local, you know, the regional, and then worldwide. That's what those three circles mean when you see those areas that are mentioned right there. So it's kicking off or launching you into ministry. Whether you like it or not, when the Holy Spirit comes upon your life, you are anointed to be witnesses to him. That means you're a witness when you get up in the morning and look in the mirror. You're a witness when you're talking to your children. You're a witness when you're talking to your spouse. You're a witness when you're talking to your neighbors. You're a witness when you get up and go to work in the morning. You're a witness at Walmart on aisle number 3 when you're reaching up for the coffee. Are you listening to me? I don't care where you are. You are anointed to be a witness. And you wouldn't need, he wouldn't anoint you with power if you weren't going to need it. He said he came to destroy the works of the devil with the power that was given by the anointing. You were given the same power. What do you suppose you're supposed to do with it? Destroy the works of the devil. How do you do that? You open your mouth. Power of life and death is right there on your tongue. God's word declares it is. And you've got the power to back up everything his word says because he put it in you. It doesn't come when you need it. It's already there. You're not hunting for the rhino and you see the rhino and go, hey, God, send me a gun. No, you're packed, you're locked, you're loaded, you got the sights on when you see the rhino. Do you understand? Look at someone and say, I'm locked and loaded. You've already got the power to do everything that God is going to call you to do, but you have to do it. And there's a way in which we have to conduct ourselves. There's a way that we have to operate, listen to me, in unity. If one will put 1,000, what happens when you put 2 people together? Somebody shout it out. Oh, 10,000. That's some serious math. Anybody good at counting real fast? Look across this congregation. My God, when you start putting this many people together, if one puts 1,000, 2 puts 10,000, what happens when you put all of us together and you pack us with power and you lock us down and you load us up and we open our mouth? That's how you take a city. That's why 3,000 people are being added to the church every day. How? Because people were being witnesses. They were operating in the anointing that they were given. Now, the problem is somewhere in here, and I'm not here. I'm not the scriptural hall monitor here to tell people this is right in ministry, that's right, wrong in ministry. I can't tell you what I'm telling you is the truth. Now, what everybody else is doing and saying, I'm not judging it. I'm not qualified to do that. But I just have a hard time sometimes when you're given the anointing to be a witness, to take a city, to destroy the works of the enemy, to heal all those who are oppressed of the devil, and that power is supposed to be going for that. But instead, we're believing God for things for self-motivation. Now, I'm not saying you can't believe God for a better way of life, because you better be believing him for that. I'm not saying you shouldn't be believing him for an increase in finances, because you better believe that, because how's the church going to do what it needs to do if it isn't got money? And if he doesn't anoint you to prosper and to give to your church, how are we all going to work together and stay together? But see, that's very balanced. I don't direct those at personal gains for me that are going to make me look and shine above everyone. No, I'm looking for the task. I'm looking for the job. I'm looking for what's best for the team. Witnesses. Then he gives them a charge. Go ye into all the world. So you better believe there's some people that he will be anointed to be able to increase finance, because those people got to get around the world somehow. I like what one of the brothers here that I'll leave him nameless at this point, but when I first came to the church, he was the first pastor I ever heard preach here. He wasn't the main pastor at that time. And he said, when you're going on missions, there's one or two things you better be doing. You either be packing or you better be paying. I like that. Because at the time, there's no way in my schedule I could pack and go. But I certainly could pull out my wallet and I could help pay for them, those who could go. Is anybody listening to me? You see how the anointing is working, how it's staying on task, how it's staying on purpose. And sometimes we need to focus on the purpose of what the anointing is for. It's the anointing, listen to me, that's going to accomplish all the work in your life. It's not a big name personality. It's not someone with special talents and special gifting. No one has a corner on the anointing. Somehow we get into this goofiness. Well, only so-and-so can pray for me. Why? Why? That's called a soul tie. You're looking at that person like they have something special that in other words, the Holy Ghost is going to hold you out. He's not going to give you what I've got. How ridiculous is that? If you're born again, that means you've been washed in the blood of Jesus, means you're cleansed. If you're cleansed and you receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit, that means you're empowered. If you're empowered, watch this. When I pray for you, I'm not perfect, but in Christ, I'm perfected. So when you get prayed for, you're getting a dose of the Holy Ghost. You ain't getting me. You don't want Scott to touch you. Scott ain't got no power. Scott ain't got nothing for you. Scott's got nothing. But the Holy Spirit has everything. I'm just like a lightning rod. I just, something comes through me and goes through to you. Or you, or you, or you. We have an anointing. And we need to use it. Somehow I don't know where it happens. We look to, oh, it's the pastor or it's the leadership. And everyone expects them to do everything, especially the spiritual works. Well, that's just not a scriptural thing. Now, don't get me wrong. There are novices and those who are over you in the Lord. And there is organization in the body of Christ. Don't have time to go through all that. I've taught on it many times, but I will be teaching on it some more. So everyone understands, you know, what's a bishop? What's a deacon? What's an elder? What's a pastor? We'll go through that again. I've taught it many times here, but we'll teach it again. But I want you to understand, I may be your pastor, but the pastor is not an office. It's a gift. So guess what? We have other pastors here too. Why? Because they're gifted too. Some of them in certain areas are more gifted than I am. Some of them can love you in ways I can't love you. Some of them can serve you in ways I can't serve you. Are you listening to me? But what you don't want to be doing is getting attached to the gift. Well, I only want Papa Joe to pray for me. Papa Joe's a clean and righteous man. I'd like Papa Joe to pray for me too. But I don't mind if Mr. Winston wants to pray for me either. That same anointing's on Papa Joe's over there on Minister Witness too, right there. And if I'm over on this side of the church and I need prayer, I'll just ask Mr. Brady, right? So, Mr. Brady, would you pray for me? Because the same anointing's on him, that's on him, that's on him. And it might be Pam. If I'm standing by, it doesn't matter if she's a woman or a man. I just assume have Pam pray for me. So we have to understand that God is no respecter of persons. That when his anointing comes on you, there is a power that dwells within you, and it has the power to remove burdens and to destroy yokes. And if you are in tune with that, you will see God do the most miraculous things through your life. I can't tell you how many times, long before I was pastor, that I would be just speaking to someone, and all of a sudden, I would be talking, and I'd realize, that ain't me. I was saying things that when I was hearing myself say them, I was going, man, that's good stuff. Man, where'd that come from? Come on, who knows? Who knows what I'm talking about? How many of you've already had it happen? Man, you're saying stuff so far over your head, you couldn't recite it. If somebody asked you to say it 5 minutes later, you couldn't even repeat half of what you just said. But it was what that person needed at that moment that began to break. You see the tears coming down their face, and you see the relief coming on their face. You see the freedom coming on their life because you broke, destroyed the yoke off of their life because of the anointing that was on yours. I can't live without the anointing. Can you? It's a charge of everything that I do. So then, Jesus takes it even a step further. In the book of John, God's word declares, Jesus says, verily I say unto you that he, John 14:12, he that believes on me, the works that I do, because God anointed Jesus with the Holy Ghost in power, he said, the works I do, you'll do also. Why? Because how God anointed Jesus with the Holy Spirit in power, Jesus said, I anointed you. He will come upon you, and you will be anointed. And Jesus says, so you will do the same works that I do, but watch this, and greater works. You know, doing the works that Jesus is a pretty high standard. I don't know what you think about that, but that's like top-level stuff. But you think Jesus is going to let you get comfortable there? I'm still trying to get there. And before I can even get there, he raises the bar and says, even greater. So, guys, we got to get our acts together. We got stuff to get. Did you get that? Like the book of Acts? We got to get our acts together. I like that. And it will only come through a greater knowing to create a greater understanding. You can't learn someone until you spend time with them. You can't fully understand how to interact with someone until you spend time with them. The longer you spend with them, the better you know them. So a quick out of bed in the morning, Lord, bless my folks, bless my four and no more. I'm going to work. That's great. I'm glad you're praying blessings over your life. And when you get home, oh, Lord, bless me. Now I lay me down to sleep. Don't let me die. Amen. And then somewhere a couple little sprays through the middle, God bless this food so it doesn't kill me. Amen. You know, I'm not saying you're not communicating with God. I'm not saying, you know, you're being irreverent, because you're not. You're communicating with the Spirit. But how well are you going to get to know the Holy Spirit by talking like that? I'm going to make a statement. I want you to hear me. Most of our conversations with God are one way. Ooh, it gets real quiet. The longer I walk with the Lord, the shorter my conversation is. I'm not doing as much talking as now I'm doing listening. I hope that helps somebody, because it sure changed my life when I got that figured out. So what's the purpose of the anointing of God? Is to accomplish the purpose of God in your life. First Peter says, you're chosen people. You're a royal priesthood. You're a priesthood. Someone says, what you doing? I said, I was hanging in the hood. Yeah, you're royalty. Yeah, it's okay to say I'm from the hood. I'm from the hood, man. I'm from the priesthood. I'm going to change some dialect in here for some folk. I'm going to take something the enemy meant for evil, and I'm going to turn it to good. Somebody asks you, you from the hood, you say, you better believe it. I'm from the royal priesthood. Ha! Holy nation. God's special possession, that you may declare the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his wonderful light. That'd be a real good place to praise right there. That would have been a really good place to praise right there. John 15:16 says, you did not choose me. I chose you. And I appointed you so that you might go and bear fruit. Fruit that will last. And so that whatever you ask in my name, the Father will give you. Now that scripture right there is where everybody gets derailed. Because they think, the name it, claim it, and I'm just going to say it. Anything I ask, I'm going to get it. It says in my name. Now, if you're talking about his name, you're talking about his word. If it's in his word and it's for his purpose and it's for his spirit, I do believe God will give it to you. If it's for your selfish sin nature, so it'll make you go the opposite direction of your calling, you may not be so fortunate. Jesus made a statement to his disciples. He says, many will come, saying, Master, Master, for I've loved you. Depart from me, for you workers of iniquity. I never knew you. See, you took care of all the benefits, and you manipulated my word to get things you wanted, but I never knew you. The word knew you there is the same as like Adam knew Eve. You were never intimate with me. You never spent time with me to even know my heart. You had no idea. You didn't even give me a chance to renew your mind so you could think right. Because if you want to get your life right, you get your mind right. And you never took the time to spend with me so you would even know what to ask for. The Bible says God will give you the desires. You don't have a desire and he gives it to you. He gives you the desire. But you're not going to get the desire if you're not with him. Depart from me, you workers of iniquity, for I never knew you. Man, I don't want to hear that. When I get there, I want to hear, well done, thy good and faithful servant. Enter in to the joy of the Lord. Hallelujah. I'm going in shouting. Get that little stick in your back. You know what I'm talking about? Yeah. So what do we ask for? Scripture is so clear. Scripture is so crystal clear on this. The first thing you ask for is, it says, seek first the kingdom. That's the first thing. Seek first the kingdom and his righteousness and all these things will be added. But the first thing mentioned, building the kingdom. What does that mean? A witness. You got to be a witness. Now, I don't want to put anybody in an awkward place, but I do have to get you to have a real God moment here so you know how to put yourself in the spectrum of what you need and don't need to be doing for God. And that is simply this. What are you doing right now to build kingdom? If God came to you today and said, write down on a piece of paper, what are you doing to build kingdom? I hope you would say, well, I'm going down to glory to him, and I'm serving in this department, and I'm helping here, I'm helping there, and it's making a difference in lives. Hope would be like, well, I'm going to support an event. We're having an event down here. I'm going to support this event, because if I'm there, then that adds my supply, and I can join my prayer with the other prayers there, and we can get the desired result because I showed up. I showed up on prayer on Wednesday night because I felt like you were calling me to do it, and when I showed up, I know that I was able to pray, and my prayer made a difference, and that we could have never got that result had I not shown up and done my part, Lord, and the Lord would be saying yes and amen. Yes and amen, because all of his promises are yes and amen. Yes and amen. Yes and amen. But can you say any of those things? Are you doing any of those things? Are you enjoying your lavish life that you got while you were younger when God blessed you, and now all of a sudden your life is too crowded? Now listen, I'm preaching to me here, because I've been having to do a lot of this lately. I felt guilty for taking an anniversary weekend and taking a week vacation, and I really had to think it over. The other weekends were for other people and other things, other events, people that needed me. Is anybody listening? Let's not get so caught up in the blessing of God that we forget about the God that brought us there. I want to say it this way. Dance with the one that brung you. Wow. You know, you could just about preach there for about the next 20, 30 minutes, but I got to move on. I got to move on. So building kingdom. The second tells us how to build us. And it says, you got to seek his righteousness. Now listen, this is I think people are getting confused here on what the righteousness of God is. The righteousness of God is not perfection. It just means it's qualified. Now let me explain this to you. The word righteousness, if you look it up, it says literally the approval of God. It says the approval of God refers to what is deemed right by the Lord after his examination. So basically, it's got to pass God's inspection. If you're looking at something, wanting to be a part of something, wanting to get involved in something, if you're ready to say something about somebody or to somebody or whatever, is that going to pass God's inspection? Think it over now, because he's going to examine it. So what the scripture says, it has to be God approved. So God's asking us to live a God approved life. Every word we say, every action we take, every intention we have. Every dream and goal that we're going to set, is it God approved? Wow. That's literally what that means. I'm breaking it down to exactly what it means so you can't mess it up. I can't mess it up. First, the kingdom. How are we establishing his kingdom on earth? How are we adding to it? How are we promoting it? And are we living a God approved life? You know, how many people remember those bracelets? You know, many years ago, they came out, WWJD. What would Jesus do? Man, those things sold like hotcakes. And, you know, it was really a good thought. Anytime you're going to do something, have a situation, now, what would Jesus do? I think we need to come out with some bracelets. I do. I think it needs to say, does God approve? DGA. So every time you're going to do something, DGA? DGA? Did God approve? So the question is, are we doing those things that we're supposed to be doing? Are we not doing the things that we're not supposed to doing? And are we living a life that's approved by God? I don't know about you, but I find myself, even as of late, I'm really having to change a lot of things about me again. Am I the only one? Because I'm not sure I'd pass inspection. See, you're held accountable for the knowledge you have. Now, this might have worked 20 years ago, but you know, it's now. So I'm having to fix things. And if you're not constantly fixing things, you're not being honest. I'm just telling the truth. I'm trying to fix some stuff. And it's going to be better. And when it's better, I'm going to be better. You understand? And then I'm going to be able to complete the work that God's called me to do. Why? Because there's an anointing on my life. If there wasn't, I couldn't do the things that I was called to do. There is an anointing on your life. If there wasn't, you wouldn't even have made it this far. You wouldn't even be staring back at yourself in the mirror in the morning if you didn't have the anointing on your life. It's on there because he's not finished yet. I don't care if you walked in here on your last breath. He's not finished yet. I don't care if you came in here so you just want to quit everything. You want to give up. You need to wake up, not give up, because God's not finished with you yet. There's an anointing on your life, and you don't want to waste that anointing Because if you waste your anointing, you're taking from all of our supply. We need you to step up. We need you to wake up. We need you to succeed. Why do we encourage our brothers and sisters in Christ? Because I need you to succeed. Because if you don't succeed, I don't succeed. I'm going to build you up, not cut you down. Why? Because if I cut you down, I'm cutting me. I'm only hurting myself. Why? Because we all go. We all go together. Say it again. We all go. And we all go together. That's not my plan. That's his. So I just said, to get your life right, you got to get your mind right. So what are you supposed to be thinking about? Well, the prescription's right there in Philippians 4:8. Prescription for your mind. You ready? Finally, brothers and sisters, whatever's true, noble, right, pure, lovely, whatever's admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. I don't know what our human minds, why it fights us so bad. But we tend to always want to think of the worst. It's so easy through misunderstanding to think the worst about people. Put your mouth on people. When it's just as easy to think good of them and say good things about them. It's actually easier. Which one is going to yield the better crop? You're sowing sour grapes, you're going to reap. I just spent an entire sermon trying to get us to the point to where we understand that we're so one with the Holy Spirit, and that Spirit is truth, and that Spirit's going to direct every one of us to the place we need to go. And in doing that, we need each other. See, I need your supply or I can't get my part done. And if I understand that, then it makes me appreciate you in a different way. I'm going to have a better toleration towards you. Because I need you in my life. So therefore, man, I'm going to build you up. I'm going to encourage you, inspire you. I'm going to be there. I know you said something bad about me. I forgive you. Just don't let it happen again. I'm going to beat the snot out of you. No, I'm not. Just kidding. I'm just kidding. Kidding. I didn't say that. Didn't say that. Y'all know you were thinking it. Don't act like you weren't. Nothing worse than a group that's self-righteous. You can think it, just don't say it. Take that thought captive to the obedience of Christ. Listen to me. A pure anointing will flow out of an obedient mind. And it's going to improve over time. I liken everything to the sport of tennis because I'm, you know, Chaz and I are playing a lot of tennis these days. We've really worked very hard to get our game to a very high level. And I remember, man, when I first was learning a stroke, it was like everything you could do just to get three in a row across the net. You know, then all of a sudden you could actually hit it across the net in the box you were aiming for. Then I remember where you could hit one down the line and one cross court and they actually went where you were aiming. And I remember we could pick it up, and when we start playing games, man, you'd be playing your opponent, you'd put one away. You'd walk back thinking, man, that was awesome. Why? Because the more you do something, the better you get at it, the better you flow with it. And now, where we are now, I look at back where we were then, and I laugh. Because we thought we were so good, and we were so bad. But we thought we were champions. See, you have to be watchful in the anointing Because the longer you walk in it, and the longer you operate in it, the more efficient you can. The more you see, the more you discern, the more you know, the more you understand. And if you're not careful, listen to me, somebody. When you're new in the anointing or you're inspired in the anointing, especially early on, it's easy for pride to creep in a little bit. Just like it did for Chestnut, we thought we were there. We had arrived. We weren't even close. But we were playing the game, so we thought we were there. I see it happen so many times in churches. People get, and man, they just get all, you know, woo, I'm going after hell with a water pistol, you know, and they're all fired up. And I think, yeah, he's got about maybe 6 months. Nothing wrong with having zeal, but you better have the anointing to back it. Man, I don't know about you, but I feel like a Timex rock watch. I take a licking, and you, but you got to keep on ticking. You understand? When you're seasoned in the anointing, you just it just like the waves. It just bounces off like waves. But you have to be seasoned in the anointing. So please, one of the first things that happens when someone starts operating early in the anointing and they're starting to feel the power of God is they become very critical of others. And where did you say you were yesterday? What did you say you were doing? Who did you say you were hanging around? And where have you been? I've been here this many Sundays in a row, and where have you been? I'm in church, have a gold star, don't miss any days. How many Sundays have you missed? Can I have my special beam of light, please? I'm having fun, but I'm not far off. There is nothing that will drive away the anointing faster than a critical spirit outside of blatant sin. Listen to me. Listen to me. The anointing was never made for judgment. It was given for restoration. Jesus said, I didn't come to condemn the world. I came to save it. God didn't anoint him to judge it. God anointed him to fix it, to save it, to help it, to pray for it, to heal it, to encourage it, to love it. And anointing will cause you to do all of those things. Now, I said this at the beginning, but now I'm going to have to bring it in where now it has some teeth and you can really sink in to the meaning of that. It's not getting the anointing. It's maintaining it. See, at first it's sweet. You love everybody. Everybody's kind. And then you get a taste of everybody. Everybody wants to do ministry till they get a taste of it. Like a honeymoon, it's great in the beginning. Yeah. 35 years later, you just showing up, do what you do. Trusting God every way. Thought I used to know all the answers. I come here today, I don't know nothing. All I know is I got God on my side, and I'm on God's side. And I can tell you right now, I'm going to do what I'm supposed to do, the way I'm supposed to do it, the best way I know how. That's all I'm held accountable for, is doing it the best way I know how. Am I still fixing things? Yes. Am I still getting things right? Yes. Am I still getting sin out of my life? Yes. Will I be doing that tomorrow? Yes. Will I be doing it next week? Yes. Will I be doing it next month? Yes. I'm not afraid to be transparent as your pastor. How many perfect people showed up today? I just want to. None. Well, it looks like we're all in the same boat. So we might as well just love each other. You bunch of hot mess. We're something, aren't we? Whew. God knows. How does God love us through us? Now, let me read you how God feels about people misusing the anointing in their life. This isn't me talking. This is the scriptures. Matthew 7:1. Do not judge, or you'll be judged. That's how God feels about it. If you're going to judge, then you're going to be judged. Your choice. God's not mad about it. He just tells you. All right, if you're going to judge, you're going to be judged yourself. Romans 18:17. Now I urge you, brethren, note those who cause divisions and offenses, contrary to the doctrine which you learned. Avoid them. Somebody starts talking about someone to you, it doesn't even have to be in church. It's your friend. It's at work. And they start talking to you about so-and-so. You know, brother so-and-so and sister, you know who. And they just avoid it. Say, yeah, I know them both, and I really just don't want to get involved in this conversation. Just walk away. Avoid them. Why? Because then they're going to puke on you, and then you're going to smell like the mess they just left you. Watch this. You could be sitting next to somebody, and God purposely set you there so you might just become acquainted with that person, because later that person is going to be a key figure in your life. And someone could come up to you and say a word about that person. You don't know that person, so you listen to the word and you think, whoa, do you know he's a child molester? Now, he might not be a child molester at all. But now you, oh, I don't want to have anything to do with him. He's a child molester. Could be a lie. Now, they just separated you from your destiny. You'll never hook up with that person. When God strategically put them there, the enemy put up a weapon against you. So the best thing to do is, hey, you know that person sitting beside you? Yeah, he seemed like a real nice individual. Why? Well, you know what's going on with him. Nope, don't want to know, don't care. I just think he's a nice person. Let me tell you something. If you meet me, I don't base on what I've heard other people say. Our relationship starts right here. I have 100% trust with you, 100%. If you do something to violate that trust, the relationship changes. Fair enough? Now, I can't tell you how to do it, but I'm telling us how the Bible tells us to do it. Will I forgive you? Yes, I'll forgive you, but I'll never allow myself to be set up in that position to be ambushed by you again. I still love you. You understand. So I'm saying all these things because this is what we're encountering on a daily basis. This is Christian life. This is the Christian world. This is how you hold a body together. And we start treating people in the anointing like they're anointed and like we're anointed, we'll start treating each other in a different way. I promise you. 2 Timothy 2:23 just nails it in the coffin. It says it right here. Don't have anything to do with foolish and stupid arguments because they produce quarrels. Now listen, guys, you got to hear this one, okay? Be the solution, not the problem. People argue about the dumbest things. Yeah, I was at Disney World. And that Dumbo ride, it took 15 minutes. No, the Dumbo ride only takes 10 minutes. No, it takes 15 minutes, I'm sure. Well, I've timed it for 10. Who cares? You're arguing over nothing. Who's the Dumbo? Foolish and stupid. Think about it. How many arguments are you having with people that just don't even need to be had? Alienating people, irritating people over nothing. Watch this, even in our homes, in our households. I'm even guilty of it myself. Sometimes I'll just walk in the next room after we had it, and I said, did we really just fuss about that? And I said, Lord, please forgive me. Break that critical spirit that's operating in our home, especially if it's working through me. Did you hear that? I bound the spirit, but also bound its right to operate through me. Why? Because it just did. And I don't want to do it again. Okay? Everybody okay? I'm almost done. I'm almost done. I'm wrapping it up here right now. Because Proverbs 13:10 explains it. It says, see, where there's strife, there's pride. And nobody wants to give up their position. I'm right. No, you're right. No, I'm right. Nobody wants to give up their position. There's pride. And so, but wisdom is found in those who take advice. When you see somebody operating in pride, know they're already in strife. It's like, here's a sign. Got it? So, before you make accusations to others, here's a word of wisdom and a word of advice. Before you ever make an accusation to others, please make sure you have all the facts. You have all the facts, it's truth. Yeah, okay. So James 3:16, for where envy and strife is, there is confusion and every evil work. And listen to me, when this type of spirit is operating, it literally separates you from the anointing. We have worked so hard for the anointing to operate in this house. We see miracles. We see salvations. We see people's turnaround. Freedom is just off the chain. So many things that God's doing in this body, raising people up, prospering people on every level. We have to fight to keep the unity. We have to work together to love each other, forgive each other, to encourage each other, to build each other up. Doesn't it sound a lot better when you think you're going to church to get built up instead of cut down? I want this to be the place where people can't wait to get here because they're so built up when they leave. Not hearing murmuring and slandering in the background. I want when you walk up in here and say, man, I've never seen a group of people love each other so much. They're high on each other. They're practically exalting each other. What a great problem to have. Wow. And the final scripture I'm going to close on is this one. 1 Thessalonians 5. And I'm going to read it to you, and I want you to listen to it. This is the word of God. It's not my opinion. It says, for God did not appoint us to suffer wrath, but to receive salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ. He died for us so that, whether we are awake or asleep, we may live together with him. Therefore, here's your assignment from the Lord. Encourage one another and build each other up, just as in fact as you were doing. Now we ask, brethren and sisters, acknowledge those who work hard among you, who care for you in the Lord and who admonish you. Hold them in the highest regard in love because of their work. People don't understand that when people are working for you in the work of the ministry and over you, you're supposed to acknowledge them. You're supposed to appreciate them. You're supposed to honor them because you give honor where honor is due. I'm not asking for your honor. I'm asking you to follow the word of God. Because if you don't teach you how to follow the word of God, you're never going to get the blessing of God on your life to the measure that he wants to bless you. Personally, I'm a guy, I don't need a thank you from you. I don't even need a pat on your back. Just don't say things about me. But I don't need your pats. I don't even need your hugs. But apparently, God needs them. Pastor Joe, Pastor Roz, all the ministers here on staff, all the people that are working, we don't really need your pats. I mean, we're kind of grown up. We've been doing this a long time. We're like Energizer bunnies. We just keep on going. Because that's all we know to do. But if we don't teach you the right way, then we somehow have failed you. I will tell you right now, Pam's sitting right there. She was Pastor David's administrator. No one honored that man any more than I did. They might have honored him as much, but they never honored him anymore. He was my best friend. I didn't even call him David. I called him Pastor David. The reason why I called him Pastor David is I just never knew. I might be with him one day, and I might really need an answer to hear from God. And I didn't need to ask David because David wouldn't have anything for me. But the moment I acknowledged him as Pastor David, that gift was always available to me. Because the pastor is a gifting. And I never knew when I'd need that gift. He kept saying, "Will you call me David?" I said, "Nope." So I started calling him PD. I said, "Okay, I'll call you PD." Because it's still Pastor David. So why am I telling you these things? Because I'm obligated to tell you the truth, not my opinion. It doesn't matter how I feel about it. It doesn't matter whether I like it or don't like it. It's what's in the Bible. Do you know how, can I just tell you something? Do you know how awkward it is to sit there on the front pew and they're up here, there's the father of the house, and I just want to get up and go in the bathroom. It's so awkward. If you knew me, you would know that's not my thing. But if I don't let them do it, then I'm not honoring the Word of God. Now, the thing I love to do is I can't wait to honor people. I love to honor people. Before I got here this morning, I called up two of those who were over me in the Lord, Pastor Pat Murray. And I just called him up this morning. I said, "You know, so Pat, I just felt like the Lord's had, I actually had both him and Bishop Bolin on my heart for 2 weeks now. And finally, this morning, I said, I just have to call you. And I said, I don't want anything from you. I just want to tell you thank you for being in my life. I said, thank you for having my back and just knowing that your years of experience are there for me if I ever need to call upon it, that your accountability is there if I ever need it. I just called for one thing, and that's to say I appreciate you and I love you." I called Pastor Pat, and then I called Bishop Bolin. I told him the same thing. Because I want to honor those that are over me. Because I appreciate that I have them in my life. I couldn't do what I do without that kind of backing. They hold me and this church accountable. They see all the books. They see everything that we do. It all gets turned to them. They review it. And believe me, they've been doing it for over 40 years. They know what they're looking at. And their visions are far bigger than this one. They've been over the highest councils. They're so respected in the ministry. I can't even tell you. They're worldwide. People know them everywhere. And so you have to set people over you in the Lord. You have to honor and respect them so they keep you in line and you don't stray. The scripture goes on to say, live in peace with each other. Come on, man. Is that so hard to do? Let's live in peace with each other. And we urge you, brothers and sisters, warn those who are idle and who are disruptive. If somebody's disruptive, don't be ugly. Just go over and warn them. Say, guys, don't do that, okay? It's hard on the body. Okay, just warn them. Encourage the disheartened. I don't know about you, but I've been disheartened before, haven't you? And it felt good to have somebody comfort me. Help the weak. Be patient with everyone. Make sure that nobody pays back wrong for wrong. There's a sermon right there. How about right for right? How about right for wrong? I've said this before, I'm going to say it again. Don't let anyone make you be someone you don't want to be. And listen to me, I want you to grab this one. It's the closing remarks. Always Strive to do what is good for each other and for everyone else. Say it with me. Always strive to do what is good for each other and for everyone else. You can't mess up with that one. That's a strategy the enemy has no defense for. And finally, rejoice always. Pray continually. Give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. As a pastor, I have been asked I just don't know what God's will for my life is. I don't know what. Yes, you do, because it's right here in the scripture. This is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. See, they're looking for the event. You have to get, if you will, you have to get the embodiment of what the word's telling you before the event's ever going to show up. So let's go over it. What's God's will for your life? Rejoice always, say it. Pray continually. Give thanks in all circumstances. And the last thing it lists here in the next verse, it says, do not quench the Spirit. Why? Because it's that Spirit that leads you and guides you and teaches you all things. So the last thing I want everyone to do is I want you to say this with me. I will always strive to do what is good for each other and for everyone else. In Jesus' name, amen. Come on, give God a hand clap of praise today. That is how you maintain the anointing. Can you please stand to your feet across the house? You know, sometimes I like to slow things down a little bit. And I like to do some thorough teaching. Does everyone understand the anointing now? What it is, what it does, what it's for, and what the purpose for it is in your life. So, because you are anointed, let's not just get anointed, let's stay anointed. And I will tell you, you'll have to fight for it every day. There will be distractions. The enemies will send events, people, situations, circumstances to try to pull you out of that anointing. So every day, you have to do those things to rejoice always. You got to pray continually. You have to stay in constant communication with the Lord. How many people think you're going to give that a shot this week? Every day, every night before you go to bed. Guys, nothing will divide us. We've got a work to do here. I was so proud of what I saw that the event downtown, and we're the ones that showed. I mean, we had the best showing. Our group's there ready to serve first. You know how good that feels as a pastor? We have an unbelievable body here at Glory to Him. Well, give yourself a hand. So proud to be called your pastor. What an honor. And I want to thank you for letting me have that right over this last 20 plus years. And hopefully, maybe the next one will even be better, should the Lord tarry. One thing we've done since the inception of this church, even back in Pastor David's day, we've always given the body a chance to have that communication with God, to have that relationship. And it starts with inviting Jesus into your heart. Now, some of you may know about Jesus. Some of you may have read about Jesus. But have you ever personally prayed the prayer in Romans 10? Have you ever prayed it for yourself and asked the Lord to come and be the Lord of your life? If you haven't, there's no time like the present. You have no guarantee for tomorrow. You have no guarantee for what happens from the moment you walk out this door. The only guarantee you have is once you make that salvation, you are guaranteed to live with him forever in heaven. I want to give everyone that opportunity today. If you want the anointing to operate on your life, it starts with salvation. And through the salvation, there is a cleansing. And through that cleansing, that absolute spirit of truth, the Holy Spirit, can now dwell inside of you and will teach you the things you need to know, will comfort you in those times you need comfort, and will lead and guide you every step of the way. I want everybody to have that privilege in your life. So if you're here today and you say, Pastor, I want to pray that prayer. I'm not in any way going to embarrass you. All I'm going to do is I'm going to pray out loud. We're all going to pray together, actually. I just kind of like to know, you know, who I'm praying with so I can come into agreement with you while I'm praying mentally. I can just join with you and rejoice with you at the same time while you're receiving. So I just want to look across the congregation. If you've never asked Jesus into your life and you want to ask him this morning, just lift your hand real quick. It's just, again, nobody's going to embarrass you. I just want to know. Anybody here raise your hand today? Thank you for that hand. Is there anyone else? Looking around. Thank you for that hand. I appreciate you all being so honest. Is there anyone else? Again, there's nobody going to get embarrassed or called out or anything. It's just us wondering who you are. Is there anyone else? We've got a couple of hands raised. Anyone else? I'm going to look back over here one time. Look up. Yeah. Scanning one more. Oh, okay. Thank you for that hand. That's so sweet. Anyone else? It's awesome. Okay. You wonder why I don't rush these things. Because there are people that are standing there in conflict and they don't know what to do. They're hearing God, but they're not even sure what they're hearing. But deep inside their heart, they know they need to do this thing. But for some reason, their flesh is fighting them. So always give it a minute to let them work it out with the Holy Spirit. The tugging you're feeling is the Holy Spirit wanting to get things right in your life. So I'm just going to look one more time, and then we're going to pray. Is there anyone else that didn't raise their hand? Wants to raise their hand? I'm just looking right now. Is there anyone else? She's raising it again. It's so cute. Okay, let me ask you this. Like so many times in our life past, I can tell you I've done it more than once. I've backslid. I don't even know how it happened. I love God, invited him into my life. Jesus was thrown in my heart. And next thing you know, I'm out doing things I shouldn't be doing. And I just slipped away from the Lord. Don't even know how it happened. Watch this. It doesn't matter how it happened. The fact is, that's where you are, and it is what it is. What's important is how you get back. And all you have to do is just pray the simple little prayer with us, like when we pray salvation. And the Lord said, he'll cast it in a sea of forgetfulness. That means it's not going to be remembered again. It will never be remembered or brought up again unless you bring it up. So if that's you and you'd say, today I want to get things right. I don't even know how I missed it, but I kind of got out there a little bit. I just want to bring it back to the center, and I want to get back with God. Let me look over. How many would you raise your hand for that? I want to get, thank you for that hand. Thank, oh, yeah, hands. There we go. Anyone over on here? Any other hands? No, thank you for the hands. Wow, thank you for the hands. Okay, you can put your hands down. Thank you for being honest, because today is going to be a good day for you, because God's going to set your life back in order. So I'm going to do exactly what I said I was going to do. I want to pray a prayer. It's not important that you hear me pray or you hear everyone else around you praying. It's important you hear yourself praying, making that affirmation in prayer and agreeing with it, because as soon as you say amen, it's done. It's finished. And your name is sealed in that book of life. And I'm telling you, you don't have anything else to worry about for eternity, because your eternity has a solution. So right now, I want everyone to bow your head. Close your eyes and repeat after me. Saints, in a manner of prayer, please. Please, an attitude of prayer. Say, Father, I pray in the name of Jesus and ask you to come into my heart. Fill me, cleanse me, and make me every whit whole. I believe you're the Son of God. I believe you died on a cross for my sins. And I believe God raised you from the dead. Therefore, I am a new creation. The old things have passed away. Behold, all things are new in my life. I am a child of God. Heaven is my home. And you are now my Lord. I believe it. Now confess it. And that settles it. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen, amen, amen. Come on, can you give the Lord just a hand clap of praise? All we're doing is all of heaven's rejoicing right now. I want to commend all of you. You have made the most important decision of your life, because now the Holy Spirit can do in you what needs to be done. And I rejoice in advance for all the wonderful things that He's going to do in your life. One more time, come on, let's just thank the Lord for His faithfulness today. Don't forget tonight at the Civic Center, 5 o'clock, 4 o'clock, unless you're military. You know, it's so hard to end a service like this, because you don't need to end it. When you walk out of here, I want you to continue where we left off. Can you do that? I want you to take what you've heard today and what you understand, and as soon as you walk out that door, I want you to apply it. Tomorrow at work, when you're walking around the stores, when you're walking around public, whoever you see, be who God has called you to be. Before I leave, do you mind if I just say a prayer over you? Lift up your hands to the Lord. Father, I pray over each and every person in this house. God, through your dynamic word and through your spirit, Lord, you change us. And you make us into the champions that you've called us to be. So God, I pray that there's nothing that will restrict, nothing that will inhibit, nothing that will hinder the acts that you are going to do, the works that you're going to accomplish through everyone in this house. So God, I pray for a complete yielding of every spirit in here, every mind to be renewed. And God, I pray that the words today will resonate in their hearts and they'll take them out there and put them to use. And I pray a special blessing over each and every family in this church. Lord, I pray that your angels would go before them to make their way safe and prosperous. I pray, Lord, that everything they set their hand to will prosper, and every place they tread the soles of their feet, they'll take for your name's sake. Lord, most of all, I pray that they will be glorifying you in all of their works and all the things they'll do. Because, Lord, at the end of the day, we just want to make you proud. For it's in Jesus' mighty and powerful name we pray. And as the bishop of this house, I pray the blessing of this house upon them. I bless them in Jesus' name. Amen, amen, amen. Come on one more time. Give the Lord a hand clap of praise, everybody. God bless you.